This is Patricia Raskin Positive Living on News Talk 630, WPRO and 99.7 FM. The program that brings you practical strategies and positive solutions to help you live the kind of life you really want. To speak with Patricia and her guest, call 438-WPRO or toll free at 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Patricia Raskin Positive Living, and happy, happy Mother's Day to everyone who is a mother. I have such a special program for you today. I'm really quite honored. We have an incredible treat. I had the opportunity to interview who I think is one of the most amazing women on the planet, and she's an icon, and her name is Dr. Maya Angelou. And in my career of doing this work, almost 30 years now, I think this was really one of the highlights. It was such a powerful interview, which you're going to hear right now. We recorded it on Friday, and I want to share information about Dr. Maya Angelou first. I'm so honored to welcome to the program Dr. Maya Angelou. She is one of the most renowned and influential voices of our time. Hailed as a global Renaissance woman, Dr. Angelou is a celebrated poet, memoirist, novelist, educator, dramatist, producer, actor, historian, filmmaker, and civil rights activist, and much more. She began her work on the international literary scene 4 decades ago with her first autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Dr. Angelou has written a series of best-selling and critically acclaimed works, and she was chosen by President Clinton to recite her poem at his first inauguration. She has served on 2 presidential committees. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Arts in 2000 and the Lincoln Medal in 2008. Most recently, in February of this year, 2011, Dr. Maya Angelou was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, by President Barack Obama. Today we're talking about her latest book, Great Food All Day Long, Cook Splendidly, Eat Smart, as well as her other works. We'll also talk about, because today is Mother's Day, her book Letters to My Daughter, which is a collection of 28 short essays. Sit back, enjoy this. I will be back with you live. It's about a 20-minute interview, and it's a great honor to present to you Dr. Maya Angelou. Welcome, Dr. Maya Angelou. It's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. Your brand new book, which I'm looking at right now with your wonderful smile, is Great Food All Day Long, Cook Splendidly and Eat Smart. When did you decide to start writing cookbooks?
I think maybe about a few years ago, so maybe 8 or 10 years ago. I collect cookbooks, and I have probably a couple of hundred cookbooks in my library. And in my library in the kitchen. So I love to read them. And when they're well written, like, say, M.F.K. Fisher.
Yes.
Just there are men and women who write so well. I love to read James Beard.
Yeah. You know, you write, of course, you're such a renowned poet. Is cooking like writing poetry, or writing cookbooks like writing poetry?
Very, very much. Cooking is, I've just had a friend visiting who is in medicine, and she mentioned something about science, and I said, cooking is a science, and there is no, there's no mistake that we have arts and, science and arts in the same breath, mm-hmm. arts and science. So, to cook well, one needs to know the properties of the ingredients one is using, and also needs to know how much heat under those properties will bring what flavor, what savory response. So it really is it's art and science.
Yes. Now, as a child, what was dinner like then? Very different.
Very different. My grandmother, I lived with my grandmother, my father's mother, in a little village in Arkansas. And Mama cooked all the time, every day, and she used a wood-burning stove. She was so in time and in tune with her stove and the ingredients that she could put her hand about, oh, say 3 or 4 inches above the top of the stove. It's turned off. The oven is on. She put her hand a few inches above, and she said, now it's time to put the cake in the oven.
Isn't that something?
She had no thermometer.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing, and the cakes would come out just wonderful.
Now, what kinds of food did you eat? Was it mostly from the land, the potatoes
yes.
and the chickens?
Yes. Every now and again, my grandmother collected the newspaper, one day a month, there'd be a Women's Day newspaper. And women who worked as maids would vie to give my grandmother the page from maybe her boss's paper. My grandmother and I would sit down at the table and write out all the recipes. And my grandmother wouldn't take the newspaper. She said the newspaper was written for whites, by whites, and about whites. We don't take that. But we would take the recipes. So Mama cooked spaghetti. And southern black men and women would come into the kitchen or into the dining room and see that and say, "Grab, Sister Emerson, you're not going to eat that stuff, are you? That's just white worms."
Oh. But yet in those days you sat down and there was togetherness. Do you think that we've lost some of that today?
Awful result. When you sit down at table, you've chosen the food, you've chosen the ingredients, and cooked it as well as you could, and presented it as beautifully as you can. And then shared it with people you care about. There are few times we can be more intimate, except in the bedroom.
You've written about that. You've said it's very sensual.
It's very sensual. It also provides a climate where people can talk about their day. Mm. They can talk about what worries them. A young person can, if he wants to, can reveal that he's the target of some bullying, and a person can say what's happening on the job, that she's happy or he's not happy on the job, he's
yeah.
being ignored.
Absolutely.
But it's a time when buoyed on and held up by the good aromas and the good savory end of the table, mm. you can say things.
Absolutely. Do you think, Dr. Angelou, your title is Great Food All Day Long? Should we be eating the meat at dinner and the eggs at breakfast, or
yes.
do you think it doesn't matter?
And vice versa, yes. Have the meat in the morning and the eggs at night. Yes, somebody made a decision that there'd be breakfast foods. Well, that's usually only in countries where people can afford that kind of luxury. The majority of the people in all the world eat for breakfast some of what was left over from dinner the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not considered outre or unusual.
What would you say about overeating? You know, we have so much obesity in our culture.
We're looking for something which isn't in that plate.
Oh, how true. And do you think that overeating can be countered by making food savory and smaller portions?
I do believe so. I believe you can make a food so good that when the person eats just a couple of mouths of it, he says, "That's exactly what I wanted. Now, I don't have to gorge myself. I don't have to be gluttonous. I can have some of this and push it away and go back later, 2 or 3 hours later, and have some more." Well, this is true. However, when you go back 3 or 4 hours later, to your surprise and delight, you can find that, you know, my appetite has waned.
Because you've been satisfied.
Yes, I can have some of this maybe later on for supper.
What are your favorite dishes, Dr. Angelou? What are your certain dishes, comfort food or favorite dishes in general?
All together. Well, I like greens. I like mustard greens and spinach. I like cabbage, fried cabbage or steamed cabbage. And I like really great soup. Really. But those are, again, from my grandmother. My grandmother would braid my hair, and if she pulled a strand of hair and it broke, or if she found a pimple on my face, she'd say, "Oh, sister, I'm going to have to make you some greens." So although the greens comprised the whole dinner for everybody in the house,
you know,
I was the one who knew the greens were supposed to work out my hair's salvation.
Yeah, and they help a lot today with us, too. Greens are still very in. You write that the oldest item in your kitchen is your mother's skillet.
Yes. It's the black skillet. It's a wonderful tool. And, you know, you don't have to worry about it sticking. It doesn't stick. And it can be cleaned really carefully. And one of the things you can do, I forgot to add this. Maybe I did. With a skillet, a good black iron skillet, you put a layer of salt in the bottom of it, and put it in an oven, in a slow oven, about 200, 250, overnight. And then in the morning, take it out and let it cool, and take a good dish towel and scrub it, and that salt gets down into the pores of the iron and pulls out all the whatever soap scum and whatever grease scum was in there. Yeah. And then once it's cleaned out, you can wash it out and again put some more salt in. This is to, they call it tempering. You temper the skillet. And the next time you want to use it, it won't stick.
Oh, that's great. Good to know. A lot of my skillets are rusty.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, Dr. Angelo, I have to read. I looked at a lot of the quotes that you've written over the years, and I picked a few that just really spoke to me and spoke to my heart, and I want to read a couple of them. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
That's true.
It's so beautiful. Here's another one. There's so many, so I'm just going to pick a few. My mother said, "I must always be tolerant of ignorance, but understanding of illiteracy, that some people unable to go to school were more educated and more intelligent than college professors."
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was an interview I watched, and I thought it was fascinating. You talked about that... Your grandmother talked to you about complaining, and that if someone said it was too hot or too cold, she taught you never to complain. And you said, "I never complain. I protest, but I don't complain." And you also said, "I might get angry, but I never get bitter."
Oh, no, never. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats on the host. It does nothing to the object of one's displeasure, but it will eat the host to death.
What do you mean, don't complain, but protest?
Oh, yes. If a person treats me unkindly, I don't complain. Whining is dangerous. Whining is so dangerous mainly because it lets a brute know that a victim is in the neighborhood. And so, no. But protesting, yes. I'm the tall black lady with the picket sign. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I will not be misused. Not with my willingness, anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Angelo, today we're pre-recording this interview, but we're airing it on Sunday, which is Mother's Day.
Yes.
And I must ask you about your book that you wrote a few years ago, Letter to My Daughter.
Yes.
Which is a collection of 28 short essays on life, on faith, on motherhood, on kindness. And I just want to read this because I think it's so beautiful. It really should come in your voice, but I'm going to read it. Yes. You write, "I gave birth to one child, a son, but I have thousands of daughters. You are black and white, Jewish and Muslim, Asian, Spanish-speaking, Native American, and Aleut. You are fat and thin and pretty and plain, gay and straight, educated and unlettered, and I'm speaking to you all. Here is my offering to you."
Yes.
Powerful. So my question is, What is your message today to the mothers, the daughters and the sons, but particularly on Mother's Day?
Well, I would remind them that they have courage. They have courage to, whether it's planned or not, to become a mother, but just physically, to undergo the stress and strain of delivering and living 9 months with another person inside, and then delivering that person through incredible pain. That is physical pain. That's physical. That's courage. Now to have the next courage, which is the courage to love, not to be in love with the child. Don't make that mistake. You ruin the child and yourself. It's dangerous. Love the child. Love liberates.
Give the child freedom.
Yes, that's right. And when he or she is doing the wrong thing, don't hesitate. Have the courage to say, hello, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. That won't do. Mm-hmm. This is, first off, it's not wise, and it will hurt you or hurt someone else. No, that won't do. So have the courage to say so. And that means you have the courage to love.
You write, one of your quotes is, one isn't necessarily born with courage, but one is born with potential. Without courage, we cannot practice any other virtue with consistency. We can't be kind, true, merciful, generous, or honest.
I believe that.
Yeah, which is really what you said. You know, you also have said that although you had a son and you haven't had a daughter physically, biologically, you've had so many daughters over the year,
yes,
to whom you've been mentors, and one of those, of course, is Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
So many people have come to you as a mother.
Yes.
You know, one of the things...
Grateful for that.
Yes. Well,
I'm very careful.
Go ahead.
When I speak to them, whether it is Oprah or a woman in my church, I mean, who's not known outside of the community, I'm very careful because I know that some of what I say will more than likely be used in her life, and people she knows, people in her family, or in Miss Winfrey's case, people in the world, will hear some of what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very careful. I pray assiduously to say the right thing and to say it so clearly that it's comprehended.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, one of the things that I had read was your early life, and I want to touch on this very briefly to come to where you are. It's interesting because you had a very traumatic experience as a child, and because of that, you lost your voice for several years. And it's so interesting that now your voice is one of the most powerful voices really on the planet. So from that adversity and from that trauma came your great strength. And in Dr. Angelo, I interview 70 to 80% of the people I interview are there because of what they've been through. They've learned that lesson and now they're teaching it. And I've always said we teach others what we need to learn most for ourselves, which is Richard Bach's wonderful phrase from Illusions. So I think, what's your feeling about that?
Well, I tell you, it's dangerous to say because I was abused, I have become who I am. This is true. But if I hadn't been abused, I would have become somebody.
Yes.
I think what you do is you give an abuser license, because then he or she can say, look at Maya Angelou. She was abused, and look at what she came to.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing. You'll get over this. Well, not necessarily. Some people do not overcome. The obstacles can be so daunting that the victim of abuse never can shed the skin of it. And I think that whatever you're going through, if you have the faith, and if you're religious, you're very blessed. If you're not religious, you have to have belief in something, maybe in the stars or in a mountain, but to believe that this too shall pass away. and I'm worth the best, and I will give my best, and I'll expect the best from everybody.
So you're saying that no matter what our situation, we can, if we want to, we can move through it.
Yes. There's a wonderful gospel song from the 19th century. It says, Lord, don't move your mountain. Give me strength to climb it. You don't have to move that stumbling block, but lead me, Lord, around it.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is, and it's wonderful to hear you sing it as well. What's your closing message, Dr. Angelou, for people in troubled times? This is a tough time. We have a recession.
Yes, I think we have to stop first. Stop. When you're in troubled times, stop. Stop trying to work it out. Just stop. Absolutely stop. And then when you can have a moment, start saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you that it's no worse than it is. Thank you. Thank you that I'm being brought through this. Thank you. Thank you that I have friends, I have a beloved, I have some family, I have some things I believe in. Thank you. I still have a voice. I can still stand up. Or if I can't stand up, I can sit up. Thank you.
And thank you so much for being on this program, Dr. Maya Angelou.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to have talked to you.
Thank you. What a
and I love your question.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Angelou.
Right.
This is a real a pleasure. Stay on the line for a minute.
All right,
folks, so we're going to take a break. I'm going to take a breath. And we're going to come right back. So stay tuned. You're listening to Patricia Raskin Positive Living right here on News Talk 630W.